You had to jerry-build, you know, the system, right? To absorb, what, carbon dioxide? Is that right? How come in the two modules, those two devices were not compatible?
That's a good question. They were called lithium hydroxide canisters, and we had plenty of them in the command module that they were square, and they fit into a square hole in the environmental system. In the lunar module system, we had lithium hydroxide round canisters that fit into a round hole in that environmental system. These systems were built by the same company. Now, why they put square in one and round in the other, I have no idea.
Rocket science.
But you had a fabulous new invention that helped you complete this whole process. And what was
it? Oh, yeah. Well, of course, the mission control, and that's actually it was Crew Systems that did it, they tried to figure out what we had on board. And what we had on board to jury-rig a square canister into the lunar module system. And so what we had was that old standby duct tape. Duct tape, piece of plastic, piece of cardboard, and an old sock. And that actually was, we were able to jury-rig a square canister of lithium hydroxide, cycle the atmosphere through it, and that's exactly what kept us from being poisoned by our own exhalation.
So the lesson is, never go any place without duct tape. Is that?
I go all the places with duct tape now. I don't. Yeah.
I can vouch for that.
So, they got back, thank God, in one piece. 14 worked, 15 worked, 16 now. You're 17. The last mission.
Gene, it's getting late. I'll run through this quickly.
Where'd you land? What'd
17
you do?
Was the first and only night launch in a manned space program at that point in time. And we launched at night to get to where we wanted to land in the month of December. We launched on December 7th. Spectacular, they tell me from the outside. It's even more spectacular when you launch aboard that. I went to the moon on a big old Saturn V on 10. Now I'm on 17, but I'm in the left seat. I've got the buttons, you know, I'm in control of my own destiny now that I'm in the left seat, commander. And it was spectacular from the inside. And we went to the moon, everything worked pretty well. I'll go through this fast forward. We landed, lived on the moon for 75 hours, took a lunar module. Things worked pretty well. We landed in a valley that was surrounded by mountains on three sides. They were literally higher than a Grand Canyon is deep. Speaking of duct tape, I'm the only guy within a quarter million, only guy driving a car within a quarter million miles from the other, from another car, and I knocked a fender off. Duct tape, never leave home without it. It worked on the moon as well. And, you know, it just, as I say, fast forward, it turned out, we knew it was going to be the last flight of Apollo. 20 and 19 had canceled early, 18 had canceled more recently. And we left, tried to dedicate the entire Apollo program to the people who made it possible. And I said something when we left that America's challenge of today, which was back in 1972, we left the moon on the, I left the surface on the 14th of December. May America's challenge of today be America's, or maybe America's destiny of tomorrow. Unfortunately, here we are tomorrow, and it's not the destiny I had really looked forward to.
But what does it say, what does the entire, those three programs together, and what you all did, and the hundreds of thousands of people who were involved with those programs, what does that say about us, Americans?
Well, I think one thing, it says that if you're given a mandate to do something, and you're given the freedom to accomplish that, we can do almost anything, and that's what happened through the Apollo program, and even onto the shuttle program. We decided eventually to build an international space station, and we had a shuttle to help that along. And so it just tells the American people that you know, given the drive and the destiny and having a goal that everybody can be proud of is really something that you should look forward to. And what I'm afraid of now is some of the intangibles that we had in that program, the spirit education for the young people, their intense interest in the space, which, you know, every day I think Gene and I go by and someone, and in fact, while we're here today, at least three or four people came up and said, you know, when I was a little kid, I watched you, you know, in the Apollo program, that gave me the incentive to become an aviator or an engineer or something like that, that otherwise I would never have thought about. And this is the things that I think we're going to miss as the space program now sort of winds itself down.
Jim, let me take the folks back to 1961, because everyone here, Jim, was a little kid when we went to the moon. But let me take you back 1961 to May when Shepard flew. It was a period of time when the country was caught up in civil strife, campus unrest, and the beginning of what became a very, very unpopular war. The Soviets literally owned space. They could put anything in orbit that they wanted to, including a grand piano. And we were able to put Alan Shepard up for 16 minutes and come back down. And 3 weeks later, the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, a visionary, a dreamer, politically astute, probably all three, challenged the American people. 3 weeks after Alan Shepard went into space under that environment that the United States was in at that point in time, challenged the American people to do what most thought was impossible, to challenge us to do what most people thought couldn't be done. He challenged us to go to the moon. We didn't know beans about going. We had 15, 16 minutes of space flight experience. And he challenged us to go to the moon. The rest is history. And what bothers me is 50 years later, we've come full circle after taking that leadership and holding on to the technological and political diplomatic leadership in space for a half a century, and have now turned it back to the same people by a different name. Today we call them Russians. This is what is difficult for, I think, Jim, as well as myself and others in this country today to swallow. You're not going to get away with it. I'm going to get my commercial out yet. Okay, this is Centennial Naval Aviation. He dared me to do this, but I got to tell you. We're here because we're naval aviators. First man, and in all due reverence to our Air Force colleagues who are outstanding, super aviators, the facts are the facts are the facts. First American in space was a naval aviator. The first American to orbit the Earth wore Navy wings of gold. The first man on the moon was a naval aviator. The last man to have left his footsteps on the moon were naval aviators. 5 out of 6 lunar landings were commanded by naval aviators, and the 7th that didn't quite land was commanded by a naval aviator. I could go on. The first shuttle was commanded by a naval aviator. I'll stop at this point. I don't want to embarrass anybody. This is part of the Centennial of Naval Aviation, and that's why we are so proud and why naval aviation has played such a big part, not just in our lives, but I think in the life of this country.
Ladies and gentlemen, Captain Jim Lovell, Captain Gene Cernan.
Thank you for listening to Theater in the Woods here on EAA Radio. Stay tuned tonight for more informative interviews and programming from today and conventions past. From all of us at EAA Radio, have a pleasant evening.